And those of you that have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of John, John chapter 8. All right, if you found your place in John chapter 8, I just want to read one verse, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pause just for a moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening you've given to us. We thank you for each of the children that participated in our program. We thank you for their hard work. We thank you for each person who has come tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to us tonight as only you can. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." I want to talk about light this evening. Light is a wonderful thing. When you wake up in the morning, the sun is shining. At least for some of us, I get up before the sun comes up, but I like to see that sun every day. Not a day goes by on this earth that we do not see the sun. It does not rise in the east and set in the west. Light is a wonderful thing. If we didn't have light, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't walk in front of us. We'd probably trip all the time because we don't know what's in front of us. Light gives us a path so we can see what's going on. So we need light for navigation. Out on the sea, they have lighthouses to guide them at night. The Bible tells us that God's Word is a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so God wants to guide us in this life, and He compares His Word, the Bible, to light. Your light is necessary for sight as well. You know, if it's not light, we can't see. If it were dark in here, you couldn't see me, and I couldn't see you. So light is a wonderful thing. We often equate the sun with happiness. And so it is a person that goes without seeing the sun for a length of time, and in fact, this is a form of torture. If you go a month without seeing the sun, you'll become very depressed and very dark. And so light is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to talk a little bit about light. More on a scientific level, I like math and science, and so I really enjoyed physics in high school. And we studied about light a bit. Your light has two natures to it. Light will both act as a wave and as a particle. Now, a wave, you think of microwaves, radio waves, X-rays. Those are all forms of waves. They're invisible. In fact, there are radio waves from this microphone that I have on me up to the sound room upstairs. You can't see them. They're invisible. And light, of course, is visible to us, but it acts as a wave. It goes at the speed of light. So light acts like a wave, but also it acts like a particle, such as like a baseball. Baseball is a good example of something that's made up of matter, particles. And light, scientists have debated this for hundreds of years. They didn't know if light was a wave or if it was a particle. In fact, they kind of went back and forth. And then they eventually realized that indeed it is actually both. Light does bend slightly to the gravity. And so it seems to have mass, but it acts like a wave. And it's invisible, and it has energy, and it travels at the speed of light, as do radio waves and microwaves. So scientists tried to settle the issue, but they came to the conclusion, we don't understand light. It is impossible to fully understand and grasp how light works. But for most of us, we just flip the switch and the light comes on. We don't have to necessarily understand it, we just know how it works in our daily life. Well, I want to talk about Jesus tonight as well. Jesus did say, "I am the light of the world." Jesus himself had two natures. Just as light is a wave and a particle, Jesus is both man and God. It's important for us to understand. Jesus was a man. I'll turn to the book of Matthew. We just read this morning in our morning service. The Bible says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And when Jesus was born, he was born as a baby. Just like you and I, he had skin, he had arms, he had two legs, two eyes, just like us. And if you, those of you that are mothers and fathers, you remember seeing your little baby born, And you women realize how much pain that involves. I don't understand it. I don't want to. But you understand what that was like. And Mary experienced that same thing as she brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus, the Bible says, grew and waxed strong. So Jesus started out as a little babe in the manger, and he grew up tall, just like your children did. Just like you young ones are right now. You're getting tall, going to school, and you're learning. When Jesus was on the earth, he had to go to school. Jesus had to learn. Jesus had, even though he was God, he came here and he learned in school. He learned a profession as well. He got a job, just as hopefully all of you young men will do, go out and get a job when you become old enough. Jesus became hungry, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus also got thirsty. Sometimes we don't think of Jesus as really being a person. Just like you and I. I'm sure Jesus, when he was young, he fell down, he scraped his knee, and he had cuts and sores and bruises, just like all of us did. Jesus was a man, just as we are. He was a man, he was a prophet, he was a religious teacher, but he was much more than that. See, Jesus, as that little baby in the manger, was the most unique baby that had ever lived, or ever will live, on the face of this earth. Because Jesus is God. John chapter 1, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just so there's no confusion about who it's referring to as the Word, we go down to verse 14, where it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so John makes no room for error. It says Jesus is the Word. It says the Word was with God and the Word was God. And it says the Word became flesh. And so when that little baby was in the manger, he was 100% man, just as we are. But he was 100% God. John wants us to have no mistake as he wrote this book of the Bible, that we would know that Jesus is God. We need to understand that this evening. The Bible also tells us that that little baby in the manger created the world. No other baby could ever say that. And little babies, well, when they grow up, I think of my little brother. He likes to play with Legos. He likes to make things. It's kind of fun. And I used to do that as well. And my brothers and sisters would tell stories on me, but they're not up here. I am. And so little boys like to make things. The little baby in the manger, he made everything. The Bible says all things were made by him, and without him was not made anything that was made. And so when we look out and we see the trees, that's an act of God. He put the life on this earth. He makes the grass grow, the clouds to give us rain. That was Jesus, that little baby that came to earth 2,000 years ago. That was Jesus, God. Then as Jesus grew up, he was still God. When he turned 30 years old, he began what we call his public ministry. And you're probably familiar with that, as he would go from city to city, and he would teach there for a time, and he would do miracles. He would do things that no one else could do. So much so that a man named Nicodemus came to him. He said, "No man can do the things that thou doest, except God be with him." Not a man on this earth could cure somebody of blindness. Not a man on this earth could take a man that sat and begged by the wayside for 40 years, every day of his life, because he couldn't get up and walk. No man could cure that man except for Jesus Christ, because he was God. If Jesus was not God, he'd be like you and I. We can't heal a blind person. But Jesus was God. He did, and he proved it, that he was God by doing these miracles. Jesus also has power over death. Jesus has more power than we can imagine. Jesus is God. He is all-powerful. So there's nothing too hard for God. And so as Lazarus, a man who was dead for 4 days, he was laying in the grave. When Jesus said, "Lazarus, arise," Lazarus arose and came out of his grave. Because God has power over death. Jesus was God. And no other baby had the angels come into the sky where we could see them, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Not another baby has ever had that happen when they were born. Jesus also had special visitors. The shepherds came, and a few years later, the wise men came. A very special baby because he was God. And so Jesus, like light, Jesus has two natures. He was fully man, and he was fully God the entire time that he was here. So Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." I want to focus on that concept that Jesus is the light. First of all, we know John 3:16. You're probably familiar with it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a promise that God gives to us. God wants us to take heed to that promise tonight. Jesus, as the light, shows us things. You know, the Bible is likened to a mirror. And did you know when you get up in the morning, you know, maybe you just plop on out of bed, and maybe you get dressed, you just walk out of the house and go to work or do whatever you need to do for the day or go to school, right? No? There are a few things you got to do first. When you get out of bed in the morning, you don't want people to see what you look like. You got to go to the bathroom and get that, splash some water on your face, get out that hairbrush and make yourself look presentable, right? Because light exposes those things. When it's dark at night, nobody can see, and it really doesn't matter. But when people can see you, they can see your face, and they can see if you brush your hair, and they can maybe tell if you brushed your teeth. Because light does something, it exposes things to us. We say we bring things to light. That means we see them, we grasp them, we understand. Jesus, as the light, reveals something to each and every one of us tonight. Reading down just a few verses from John 3:16, the Bible says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world," that's Jesus, "and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." See, Jesus is the light. Jesus brings things, exposes things to us so that we can see it. Jesus wants us to understand that we're sinners. How many murders does it take to make a person a murderer? It takes only one. How many drinks does it take for someone to be a drinker? They've done it before, it takes one. So it is with sin. If you commit one sin, the Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible also says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why people aren't busting down the doors to get in this building on Sunday morning, because their sin will be exposed, and men don't like that. I kind of think of cockroaches, not a pleasant subject. If you turn a light on, they scurry away. That's what happens when people are brought and confronted with the fact that they are a sinner. It's not a pleasant thing. I don't like being told that I do things wrong, that I sin against God. But you know, God tells me that because he wants me to do what's right. God reveals these things to me for my benefit. God wants me to enjoy a great life that he wants to give to me. And if I am not exposed to my sin, then I'm going to live a miserable life. And in fact, so much so, if I went all my life without ever coming to Jesus Christ, that I would be a lost person and I would spend eternity in the lake of fire. God wants to confront you with your sin so that you don't have to experience the wrath of God in darkness forever. The Bible exposes our sin. If any of us thinks that we're without sin, just ask if you've ever lied before. If you told one lie, that makes you a liar. If you've stolen one time before, that makes you a thief, and you are a sinner. God says that all have sinned. And so, by that verse in the Bible, I know that each and every one of you in here tonight is a sinner. And you also know by the same verse in the Bible that I am a sinner. I do things wrong. The Bible also tells us there's a price to pay. Men didn't want to come to Jesus when he lived on the earth because he told them the truth. He told them that there is a price to pay for sin. And though I can't fully understand it, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, man has two natures. We have a physical nature and a spiritual nature. Light has two natures. Jesus has two natures, but so do you as well. You have a physical life that you're experiencing right now. And the Bible says that there's appointed a time for your death. You're going to die one day, and that's because of sin. Adam and Eve, the two people that God first created on the earth, when they disobeyed God, they had that sentence of death upon them. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have lived forever, and so would you and I. But they sinned, and so we are sinners as well, many generations later, thousands of years later. We are sinners as well, and there is a price to pay for sin. That price, the Bible says, is death. And so your physical body will deteriorate and eventually will experience the grave. But like I said, we have two natures. We have a spiritual nature. And you can't detect a spiritual nature with your eyes. We can't see our spirit. We cannot hear our spirit. We cannot touch our spirit. We cannot smell it or taste it. You see, our physical body cannot observe or perceive the spiritual world. But God says there is one, and there's a stiff fine to pay if we do not have something done about our sin. Because your spiritual body will also experience death. The wages of sin is death, and that involves your spiritual nature as well. You see, what's going to happen is the Bible says that there's a first death, that's our physical death. There's also a second death. That's when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, the book of Revelation. And so for those that know not Christ, that do nothing about the fact that they're a sinner, that don't come to the light, which is Jesus, the Bible says they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I don't know if you've ever closed your eyes for a while and tried to walk around, tried to experience what it would be like to be a blind person. I wouldn't enjoy it. It wouldn't be fun. You'd try to just put your hands out to see where you are, and you'd probably trip and fall. But you know that every person that winds up in hell will never see again. They'll never see another face, because the Bible calls it outer darkness. You see, Jesus is the light, but if you don't come to Jesus, who is the light, you will live in darkness forever after this life. When you close your eyes in death, you'll wake up in eternity, and you'll be in the lake of fire forever. The Bible says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's torment. We think of the Middle East and wars going on over there. People are killing each other. People are tormenting each other. But every single person that's in hell right now would rather take the place of someone being tormented on this earth than where they are right now. They don't want to be there. In fact, they don't want you to be there either. You see, they only have past experiences to look over and realize what they did wrong. They know there is no hope. No hope of escape. Every person that wakes up in the lake of fire is there forever. Sin causes spiritual death. And so God says, I don't want you to go there. That's why I sent the light into the world, so that you can see. We also know that Jesus paid our penalty. I said the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that. And Jesus paid the price for you. That offers us the hope. That's why Jesus came to this earth in that little manger. That's why we are Christians today. That's why we want to spread the good news of Jesus. Because we don't have to go there. We don't have to go to hell. But God says, I want you in heaven. And so here's how it happens. You see, the wages of sin is death. God does not give you a free ticket to heaven. Something has to be done. A price has to be paid. And God said, I've got one person that can do it. That person is Jesus. Jesus said, I'll come to this earth. I'll live. I'll get sick. And I'll endure the scraped knees and everything that living a physical life involves. And then I'm going to die. Men are going to hate me for what I tell them. Men are going to whip me. They're going to pull out my beard. They're going to crucify me on a cross. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. You see, God, like I said, will not give you a free ticket to heaven. There has to be a price paid. And Jesus paid the wages of sin. The wages of your sin was death. Jesus paid it. And so God says, now, because of what Jesus did, I can let you into heaven. There's only one thing left that you need to do. God wants you to believe. Like I already read, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But the Bible says he that believeth not is condemned already. And so if you're not now trusting Jesus as your Savior, you are condemned to the lake of fire when you die. But it says he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's hope. God says if you will put your faith and your trust in me to save you from your sins, then you will not be condemned. You will not spend eternity in hell. God does not want us to go there. The Bible calls it a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what that says is there's a gift. As you went out Christmas shopping, you purchased gifts. You paid for them, and they're sitting under the tree, and they're for somebody else. Jesus Christ, when he paid the price of sin by dying on the cross, there's now a gift for you from God. It's been paid for. There's nothing you have to do to earn that gift. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to pray so many times. You don't have to read your Bible so many times. God says the gift is free. Take it. God encourages you to take his gift tonight. When I was 3 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that if I died, I would wake up in hell. I realized that Jesus paid the price for my sin. Then what did I do about it? I prayed. I said, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and you died for my sins, and I ask you to take me to heaven." And when I said that prayer, instantly, God gave me his gift. God said, "Now you have eternal life. You're no longer condemned. You're on your way to heaven." Something that's interesting is that Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." When I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus, and he is going to be the very light in heaven. See, Jesus is the light. To be without Jesus tonight, you are condemned, and you'll spend eternity in darkness and in torment. But God does not want you to go there. See, if you will come to the light, forsake the darkness, then you can come to heaven. God wants you there. So God just says, come to the light this evening. And so what that involves is knowing that you too are a sinner. The Bible says it. It's true. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. And so you without Christ are on your way to the lake of fire. But Jesus paid the penalty. Christ died for us. And if you also believe that God can take you to heaven, if you just ask him, because he promises to do it, the Bible says you can have everlasting life. So I'll ask everyone to fold your hands and close your eyes. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for Jesus coming to this earth. I thank you for your word that tells us about him so that we can learn, so that we can be informed of what's in store for us if we don't accept you as our Savior. Lord, I pray that you're speaking to hearts this evening. I pray that there are some here tonight that will want to be saved so they can come to heaven as well. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.